Now let's hear the story from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord, the Master, needs them, and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road. Others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds went ahead of him and followed. Those that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
I don't know if it has occurred to you yet, but for Christians, Holy Week is going to have an entirely different depth this year. In other years, the Palm Sunday procession that we rehearse is the beginning of a week-long story that unfolds into resurrection. We know how the story ends, even as it passes through moments of incredible tragedy. And the ultimate message of Easter Sunday is certainly going to come. But this year, it will come as we together are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I imagine that we'll have a more visceral response this year to the passion stories, the gospel stories that we'll read this week, not just of Palm Sunday, but also of Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and that in-between time, that threshold time that lies between crucifixion and resurrection. I encourage you this week to let these stories have their way with you. Let them influence your thoughts and your feelings, and know that you are not alone, and neither were those earliest followers of Jesus. This has been a difficult week in our household. In addition to the big picture pandemic news, we learned that Chumley, our 11-year-old golden retriever, had untreatable cancer. And on Friday, surrounded by his family, he was euthanized in his backyard. For me, and I know for some of you, our pets are not just animals. They are soulmates. And I have thought of Chumley for many years as my spirit animal, and also a source of unconditional love. We who have pets need to have courage to make those end-of-life decisions, especially when we are not able to ask a pet what their pain level is or whether they're really ready to go. It was a wrenching decision for me to make with Jane Ann this week. People, though, do have the ability to make end-of-life decisions. I can't imagine how difficult it would be to make such a decision for a parent or a spouse who had not left any advance directive. So if you don't have a living will and a durable medical power of attorney, please call your attorney this week and have that done. It may spare your family some agony. If nothing else, go to 5wishes.org online and download the 5 wishes for your end-of-life care. It takes courage to address this issue and to fill out that form, but your courage will be rewarded. We also have a few copies in the church office, and you can leave a message for Barb Gregory, and she'll pop one in the mail to you as long as we have copies remaining. We live in a peculiar time, and in some ways, I can't believe that I'm talking to you about courageous end-of-life decision-making on Palm Sunday. But then on further reflection, it occurs to me that this is sort of what Palm Sunday is all about. Jesus making the courageous decision to come to Jerusalem during a tense holiday, when occupying Roman troops were there in force and on high alert. I suspect that Jesus, like Gandhi and King, knew that standing up for justice just might get you killed. I think that we can also get caught up in the idea that, well, Jesus was superhuman, which is why he had the abundance of courage to face the prospect of crucifixion. And there's some truth in that notion. But there is also an undeniably human element in this chapter of Jesus' life. He needed to call up incredible faith in order to face death squarely in the face. And there are incredibly human moments, too, that you will hear us read on Maundy Thursday. It is so very human to hear Jesus say, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup, this impending death, from me. But not my will, but yours be done." Holy Week calls upon us, normal everyday Christians, to summon up the courage, not just that Jesus knew, but also that his women followers knew. Because as you know, they continue to show up through the dark night of crucifixion and beyond it. And we catch a glimpse of the male disciples' humanity in fleeing immediately after the crucifixion, but then returning later remorsefully. Courage comes sooner to some of us than it does to others. In part, courage depends on the ways that we are called to live into it, the occasions in our lives that demand courage. In the last few weeks, have you seen people step up with a sense of courage that you hadn't noticed before? Not taking the easy berth, but having to risk much for the benefit of the whole? I think some of us have seen that in unexpected places. Whether a UPS delivery person knocking at your door, or that checker that you really like over at Safeway or King Soopers. You and I both are living in times when we will be called upon to act with courage in smaller or in greater ways. We are living in times when we will be called to make sacrifices in smaller or in greater ways for the good of the whole. One of the elements that will enable you to do that, to act with courage, and to sacrifice when called upon to do so, is your trust in God. Your heart and soul embrace of the God who is present with us every step we take. Howard Thurman, the great 20th century minister and mystic, wrote some wise words that I'll share with you. He writes, "Courage is not a blustering manifestation of strength and power. Sometimes courage is only revealed in the midst of great weakness and greater fear. It is often the ultimate rallying of all of the resources of personality to face a crucial and devastating demand. And this is not all. There is a quiet courage that comes from an inward spring of confidence in the meaning and the significance of life. Such courage is an underground river flowing beneath the shifting events of one's experience, keeping alive 1,000 little springs of action." So that inward spring of confidence is faith. It is faith that Jesus calls the disciples toward. That faith that Christ calls us to engage. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem and people shouted, "Hosanna, Son of David," they weren't simply cheering him on. Hosanna means save us. That gives Palm Sunday a different spin, doesn't it? An emphasis not so much on triumph, but of reliance on faith in God that will not let us down. The faith that gives us courage, even in the face of death. As we walk through this pandemic, our wider community needs you, both now and ultimately when the virus is under control. We need to stay home and help those who are in high-risk groups. And once we're out of the woods, we'll need to have the courage to rebuild and to renew together. Taking the lessons that we have learned through this global experience, we'll need the courage it takes not simply to bear a death, but also to bear a resurrection. It takes courage. It takes courage to face a diagnosis that you would rather not hear, to find that you've been laid off, to endure the demise of a relationship. It takes courage to face a pandemic. And courage can wrest us from a sense of powerlessness to a sense of carrying on, of moving forward, of doing what we can do. If our lives were not fraught with fear and if they were without adversity, we could never experience courage. Time and again, I have seen courage in the faces of the people who comprise this congregation, and your courage inspires me. You know, yesterday I received a Facebook message in response to Chumley's death, and it's a lovely Italian expression of encouragement, coraggio, which not only means literally courage, but also just what Jesus was conveying to his followers. Hang in there. Keep your chin up. Don't give up. Keep trying. And it's that everyday courage that the disciples needed after the resurrection, and that the apostles needed as they went out to start the Christian movement and to spread it beyond the Jewish homeland. And it is everyday courage that Jesus is calling you to right now. You know, we all have favorite hymns, and God of Grace and God of Glory is right at the top of my list. And not just because it is set to the stirring Welsh hymn, Cwm Rhondda. Listen to these words by Harry Emerson Fosdick. God of Grace and God of Glory, on your people pour your power. Crown your ancient church's story, bring its bud to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour, for the facing of this hour. From the evils that surround us and assail our Savior's way, from the fears that long have bound us, free our hearts for faith and praise. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the living of these days. For the living of these days. For me, those powerful words have new meaning in light of the pandemic that we are living through together. Others have gone before us, showing us the way to live with faith and with courage. And I know that this congregation has both the faith and the courage for the living of these days. Coraggio. Amen.